So over the last days, as we were coming into this time, I wanted to just kind of study time as it passed by, the things that Jesus told his disciples. And I realized something that maybe I've never noticed about this time before. I was looking in a place, and it says this is the third time that Jesus has told his disciples of what the future holds for them. And I got something out of that that has challenged me for my own life, and I want to share it with you today. If I could put a title to this today, it would be Raised the Third Day. And I have to think of the verse in Proverbs 3 and 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Because I think that will apply to what we're looking at today. So I went back and I said, I'd like to find those three places. And let's see, how did Jesus tell them? How did they respond to it? And how does it apply to me today? So I would like to start in Matthew 16 and 21. Was the first time that he talked to them about it. He's trying to kind of let them know, here's what you can be able to expect out in the future. And it says in the 21st verse, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things of the elders, chief priests, and scribes, be killed, be raised again the third day. So it's all together in a little package. These things are going to happen. But at the end of it is this little clip. I'll be raised the third day. How was the response to it? Look in the 22nd verse. Here the news has come to them. Now the response comes back. Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. In other words, I tell you what, I'm going to keep these first things from happening to you if I can. So it's like it just went over his head of what's going to happen the third day. So then it went on to the second time, Matthew 17 and 22. Here he talks to them again. While they abode in Galilee, Jesus said to them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men. They shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again. Here's their response. They were exceeding sorry. So if they were exceeding sorry, what part of his information were they dwelling on? The first part. He's going to be crucified. I would be exceeding sorry too. But it tells me a little something about human nature. When information comes to me, it's real easy for me to pick what part I dwell on and forget about the other. So I'll go to the third one. They were exceeding sorry on the second one. Matthew 20 and 18. Here he tells them again. Behold, we go to Jerusalem. Son of Man shall be betrayed to the chief priests, scribes. They shall condemn him to death. Shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock, to scourge, to crucify him. You know, all that is the sad part of the news. But here's this last little clip for the third time. What does it say? The third day he shall rise again. What was the response when that came to them? Here's the information coming. I'm going to be able to profit from it or not. What was the response that happened the very next thing? It's almost like it just went over their head, because look at what the next thing that happened. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. Grant these my two sons that they can sit on the left hand and the right hand. It just sailed right over their heads. It's like the third time they didn't even think about anything. We're thinking about what's going on right now. And it would have been one thing if the others, 11, had been thinking about what he just told them. But we look on down just a little bit, the other 10, look in the 24th verse. When the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation. So what he had just told them about the third day I'm going to rise again, it just sailed over their head too. They're thinking about those two wanted to be the greatest and We're mad about it because we'd like to have it ourselves. So they just, what they could have profited by with the information that had been given them, the message of hope that Jesus was giving them. Yes, he's telling them this is going to happen. I'm going to be scourged. Everything is going to be as bad as what I'm telling you. I'm going to be crucified. But I want to tell you this last little clip. 3 days. You know, he was not saying, I could rise again if they don't demolish my body too much. Or if this doesn't happen, if they don't seal the tomb too much, I'll rise again. No. His was just a straightforward message. 3 days, and I'll rise again. What kind of hope that could have given the disciples when they saw all of this happening? When John watched as Jesus was crucified, what kind of hope could have been given to him to just think, as soon as he dies, the countdown starts. 3 days, and we will see him again. But you know, when I've read the resurrection story, the morning that it happened, who of them was saying, this is the third day, he's risen now, let's go see. None of them had any expectations. So let's take a look at what we normally will read on resurrection morning as an encouragement to us, and look at how they were looking at it. Let's go to Luke 24, because there is a lesson in this for me, and I say, Lord, help me to be able to get it. Luke 24, and in the first verse, you know, the disciples, it's almost like they weren't even going to waste their time to go. We know he died. He's still dead. But it says, upon the first day of the week, and we read this often every Easter morning, very early in the morning they came to the sepulchre bringing spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. When they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in, found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed. Wait a minute. Perplexed? He just told you 3 days ago, yes, it's going to be bad, but I'm going to rise again. You know, it looks like they would have all gathered together in a meeting and said, let's go meet up with him. He has risen this morning. But instead, it says they were much perplexed about it. Now, on down in the fifth verse, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, he said, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, is risen. And look what he says right here. Remember. Think back. I just told you, they told you three times. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. And here they're telling it again. The Son of Man must be delivered in the hands of sinful men, be crucified. And the third day he rise again. And look at this eighth verse. And they now remembered his words. Now it's come back to them. Oh, he did tell us that. Look at what hope they could have had, even when he was being crucified, if they would have had faith in what he told them, and even been able to grasp what he told them. 3 days, countdown. I've been trying to do that over the past 3 days. Here's Friday. Here's Saturday. I get to read the rest of the story. The disciples didn't get to have the rest of the story in front of them, but by faith, they could have grasped that last little piece, but I think it just went over their head. Because they saw the crucifixion, they knew what he was going through. He's dead now. He's gone. It's over. They didn't come to the tomb to visit with him. They brought spices for a dead body. They were still expecting him to be dead. So these are the women. So they're pretty excited about it. They return, ninth verse, they returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11. And the 11 were all together saying, Lord, I remember how you said you would rise again the third day. Lord, what will it be? Is that what it was? No, look here. 11th verse. Their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. That message of hope had gone right over their head. The disciples themselves saw that as an idle tale. Then it says, then arose Peter, ran to the sepulchre, stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and he departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Now look at this, and it does something for me today. We sing a song, "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." But there's another lesson in this for me. Maybe one of those verses could be, "All because we do not remember all the promises that have been given to us." The promises, just like Jesus, he gave them a promise. He didn't say, "It might happen. I hope it happens that 3 days later I'll rise. It's not normal, so I don't know if it's going to happen or not. We'll just see." Nuh-uh. He said, "3 days and I will rise again." And I'm looking at the things that we go through in our life. When Cheryl got the diagnosis, "You have cancer." That's kind of like the crucifixion. That's the negative side of it. You know what is easy for me to do like the disciples did? I forget the promises that went with it. They had a promise that in 3 days, Jesus would rise again. You know what? Cheryl had a promise. "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." You know what? We are just like the disciples. We get to choose what information we store away and what information we let run over our head. We can choose to forget the promise and focus on my problem. They did. And they had no hope on the day, this day that we find. I think it's kind of striking that it was pouring down rain a while ago and the sun is shining so bright. You know what? That morning it was pouring down rain in their heart. And then they realized Jesus has risen. And everyone was so happy about it. You know what? They could have had that same peace 3 days earlier with just a faith in God to know he said it. I believe it. It's going to happen. So I look at my life. And I say, "Lord, help me." When the difficult times hit, there's a promise attached to it. I may or may not focus on the right thing. I can focus on the negative of what's happening in my life. But there are promises made for us. What if the disciples had been just anxiously waiting the return of Jesus? It's the third day. You remember when Saul was told by Samuel, 7 days, you wait for me, I'll be back. You know, 7 days came, he was on the seventh day and he hadn't come back yet. But you know what? The seventh day wasn't over. There on the third day, they could have been waiting, anticipating. Instead, when they heard the news, he's risen, it seemed as idle tales to them. And they believed it not. I have found this to be a challenge for me in my life. Because we have some promises that are given to us. I'd like to look at that in 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians 1:20. All the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, to the glory of God. All of his promises are yea and amen. And it made me think of a place over in Romans where Abraham, it said he staggered not at the promises through unbelief. He was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to perform. And in 2025, I want to be able to have that in my own life. What God has promised, he's able to perform. There are promises for us. You know what? There's a promise. The promise that held Cheryl throughout that time, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." That promise isn't designated just for one person. It walked Sister Vicky through. It will walk Sister Janine through. And you know what? Every one of us will leave out of here with something. Something's going to take us. I can dwell on the negative of it, or I can realize, you know what, there's some promises. "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life." That's a promise. Through it all, be faithful to him. So I'm also thinking about the patience. that Jesus had with them till they could get their thinking straightened out. You know the patience that he has with me to help me to get my thinking straightened out, to where I don't dwell on the negative of it, but I dwell on there's a promise. There, if it's nothing else, then there is a promise of heaven at the end of all this. 2 Peter 3 says he's long-suffering to usward. He surely is. He has a desire that we be able to understand some things, so he spends some time with us. And I'd like for us to look a little bit at the story of the time that he was willing to spend with someone. In Luke 24th chapter, and in the 13th verse, behold, two of them. You know, here's where it says Peter had arose, ran to the sepulcher, stooping down, wondering in himself at that which come to pass. And now two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus. They talked together of all these things that had happened. I just wonder what kind of conversation they were having between each other. Was it all on the thing of, we wish we had remembered the promise that he gave us? It would have been such hope for us. But you know what? They're not there yet. We get to see that in just a little bit. And we also get to see the mercy that Jesus showed to them and the mercy that he shows to me to help me to be understand his plan. It says, it came to pass while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, and they should not know him. He said unto them, what manner of communication are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And they said, are you just a stranger in Jerusalem, hadn't known the things which have come to pass here? And he says, what things? And they come on down, and they tell him what all happened. Look at the 21st verse. Here's their thinking about it all. We had trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished. Whoops. Made us astonished, so we didn't believe what he was telling us back at the beginning. Made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, when they found not the body, and came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels. And look at how Christ was willing to spend some time with them. And it says in the 27th verse, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in the scriptures the things concerning himself. And so he makes out like he's going to go on, and they say, no, would you stay on with us? They still don't recognize who it is. And when he breaks bread, they recognize it. 31st verse, their eyes were open, not just their literal eyes, their spiritual eyes of understanding now are open to them. They knew him. He vanished out of their sight. Look at this. Did not our heart burn within us when he talked by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? I look at the time that Jesus was willing to spend with them to be able to help them to understand, here's the troubles, here's the promise. Which one do you want to dwell on? I also want to look at another little place. Psalms 136 and 1 says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. You know what that forever means? It's still available for me today. It also was available to the thief on the cross when he sought for mercy. Lord, would you remember me when you come into your kingdom? And Jesus has mercy on him and says, this day you'll be with me in paradise. But he also tells another little place. You know, when Peter denied him, Jesus wanted to take a little special time for Peter. In Mark 16, because when I look at all these, I'm thankful that the Lord is interested in helping me also. Yeah. It says in the 6th verse, he saith to them, be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He's risen. He's not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter. Peter was still a disciple, but he's saying, make special sure when you're telling him that you make sure he gets the message. Make sure that I care about him. I do care about him, even though he has failed me. I'm thankful for that. The time and patience that he spent with them, the time and patience that he spends with me. He also did it to someone else. In John, the 20th chapter, 20 and 24. You know, some of these, it was hard for them to believe for a little while. Look at this one. Thomas, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." And he said, you know, kind of like it would be easy for me. "Except I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger in the print of the nails and thrust my hand in his side, I will not believe." Then in the 27th verse, Jesus appears to them. And he says to Thomas, you know, just straight to him. He could have just said, "Thomas, I tell you what, you're cut off because you didn't believe." No, instead, what does he say to him? "Thomas, reach hither thy finger, behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it in my side. Be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." And this verse, this next verse can apply to us today. Jesus saith to him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen, thou hast believed. Blessed are they who have not seen, and they do believe." That's us today. We haven't seen it, but I believe the story just as much as if I had been there that morning and went to the grave and he was not there. I want to look at another area. Opportunities when Jesus arose that morning. You know, that was the same morning, Sunday, first day of the week, that last week, the first day of the week, he went into Jerusalem with so many people welcoming him. Now he is alive, first day of the week again. And I want to look at a little something in Matthew, the 28th chapter. There had been something happen whenever he arose. 28 and 11. The soldiers that had been there when he arose had a message to give. "Now when they were gone, behold, some of the watch came in the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. When they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money to the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. If this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. They took the money, did as they were taught. This saying is commonly reported among the Jews unto this day." What does this have to do? Jesus could have cleared that up when he arose. He could have gone back to the temple and showed them his hands and his feet and say, "I told you I would rise the third day." But there's something, you know, there was something said in Matthew 27 that the chief priest said to him, 27 and 41. They tell him, "Likewise the chief priest, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, He saved himself. He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him come now from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I'm the Son of God." You know, Jesus, with one appearance in the temple, could have cleared all that up. And yet he didn't. And he says something to us. You know, sometimes when we have people that are coming against us, there are some things that we could do that would go clear it all up. And instead, Jesus said, my mission isn't to do that. My mission isn't to go try to prove the chief priest wrong or the soldiers about what they did. I've got another mission that I want to do. And I think that's something for me to learn out of this myself. In Philippians 2 and 5, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." What was also in Christ Jesus? It says he came into his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as did receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. So you know what he spent his last time with when he rose from the dead? He wanted to make sure that his followers had a no question, even to the point of spending some time with Thomas, no question that he rose from the dead. It wasn't important to him that he prove it to the city, to the nation of the Jews. He's now proven it to his people, his followers. And I see this over in 1 John, the first chapter. when John is talking about it, First John 1 and 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. John was an eyewitness. He was there when Jesus was crucified. He also saw those times when Jesus was risen again. That's where Jesus spent his time before he went back. It says in Mark 16, because this also comes down to where we are today and the value of it. Mark the 16th chapter. So when Jesus was taken back up, it says, so then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven, and he sat on the right hand of God. But that wasn't the end of it. You know, there's a verse that is a promise to us. It's in Hebrews. Hebrews 7. Because it says he sits on the right hand of God. The 7 and 25. Here's the help that we can have. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that cometh unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. That includes me. That includes you. He is spending his time making intercession. You know, it says in 2 Peter 3, he's not willing that any would perish. All would come to repentance. He wants everyone to make heaven their home. And he spends some special time. And I would like for us then to look at one more. A time where somebody needed his help. Acts in the 7th chapter. Stephen had preached a message to the people, and it made them very angry. 7:55. What would it have been like when Stephen is about to lose his life? Maybe the first martyr to have given his life. Stephen, 55th verse. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven. He saw the glory of God. Did he see Jesus sitting at the right hand of God? No, this one says when he saw the picture, Jesus was standing at the right hand of God. I think that says something to us. It's not just a casual something for him when he sees his people. In desperate places. But with him, he stood. And then Stephen said, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. I am so glad for the resurrection. But I am also so glad for what we can learn from it. You know, they could have had hope when they saw Jesus hanging on the cross. What if he had never told them he would rise again? There would have been nothing to have hope for. But instead, he let them know, here's a promise. This will happen 3 days from now. And it could have given them such hope. We are each one going to hit some dark times in our life. May I remember the disciples when they had the dark times to think about and the hope to think about. The 3 times that he gave them an opportunity for hope, it passed over their head. And it didn't benefit them in those 3 days. I think it's a lesson for me today. Lord, in the things that you allow into my life, I can find the things that bring hope. If nothing else brings hope other than, tell you what, this life will soon be over. You know, with Stephen, that was some hope. When he looked up and saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God and realizing just a little bit more, throw that stone just a little better and I will be up there with them. May we each one realize heaven is where we're headed. Whatever it takes, whatever goes through us, to us. I remember Cheryl telling the Lord, want to make it. Send into my life whatever it takes for me to make it. You know, some of those things may not have been just for her. Some of it may have been for me. So then on the other side of it, we have to say, Lord, you sent it. Now walk with me through it. And the hope we can have is the scripture is loaded with thousands of promises for us. All we have to do is get a hold of one of them when we have the dark times come in our life, and it will carry us through. I just think what those 3 days would have been for the disciples if they had met together like they did in the upper room later. If they would have said, we're singing and praying, we're going to see Jesus in just a little bit. Oh, what a difference it would have been. Jesus still had mercy on them. And he still has mercy on me. And I am thankful for it. I am so glad that he is risen today.